You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
What is the best time to talk about unemployment and the link between unemployment and crime, if I can put it that way, which to a large extent then threatens societal, national, global peace and security? What is the best time to talk about that than now, where pretty much almost every country is complaining about illegal immigration? And one thing that both illegal immigration, basically central to the discussion of illegal immigration is that it's all in search of opportunity. Now, the host country citizens all often point out that their opportunities are being taken away by people that are from other countries. And these people that are from other countries are in these countries in search of opportunity. So they say a scramble for opportunities. And this is just not helping in terms of not just the discussion of immigration, but also, basically opportunity or resource distribution. And so the best time to have that discussion is now. And as smart as my glasses would like to make me look, I'm not that smart. I'm not smart enough to come up with this topic. That is coming from the International Labour Organization themselves, where they met last month from the 1st to the 12th of June, and they deliberated on a lot of topics. And I just picked one that piqued my interest, and that is a lack of opportunities, a.k.a. That's if you are looking at it predominantly on a national level, but when you are looking at it on an international level, like the International Labour Organization does, because, well, their operation parameters is global, hence the international part of the International Labour Organization. So when you look at it from that angle, you begin to realize why, if the instability is left to, is not attended to as early as possible on a national level, it cascades to reach a point where it begins to threaten peace and security on a global level, which is the major concern of the International Labour Organization. Oh, thank you for tuning in. Welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight in absentia. If you just tuned in, I'm here until the hour of 7. And today is Monday. Usually we go from 4 to 7, but for Mondays, we have Olwazi taking over, taking over the first hour, that is from 4 to 5. That's the one that you have been listening to, talking about, how to bring about affordable housing. Speaking of which, affordability is the very, it's a very important component here. And when you can't talk about affordable anything, including housing, that like you were just listening in the previous program, without talking about the legislation, the legislative aspect of things. But that was always. Let's go global now, because we spent the better half of the whole hour from 4 to 5 talking about Namibia. So let's talk about opportunities. The link between the nexus, if you want to go full vocabularies, the nexus between unemployment and peace and stability in a country. So it's a very important aspect to look at. Now, the reason why I just picked that part of the conference, on that part of the discussion, is because I like drawing comparisons, and I'll just share a few with you. And the few that I'm just going to share, just a brief of what we are going to be talking about pretty much all the way through to the hour of seven that we're going to be having this discussion of the link between, of the link between unemployment and peace, not just on a national level, but on an international level, is that the International Labour Organization's organization recently held its 114th session of International Labour Conference. Some of the topics that dominated the agenda were decent work and gender equality at work and social dialogue. The decent work is one that I picked up because if you are talking about decent work, now, from my standpoint, decent work includes both social dialogue and gender equality under that umbrella of, decent work, because decent work does not, means you are getting, you are being paid enough, and also just put in mind that you are also putting in the work to be worth what, the enough that you're being paid for. It's about decent work means you're being paid enough not to live in survival mode. And the problem is, one thing that we see in the, especially in the 21st century, is that you have, work to wage ratio is a bone of contention in terms of employment discourse in pretty much every country that you go to. It's like, the cost of living is in a fighter jet and the salary is on a, I want to say motorbike, but I do not want to disrespect my Kawasaki. Hayabusa, oh, bikes are fast. But, now you have the, source of income and the cost of living seems to have an ever growing gap. And this ever growing gap is now beginning to have some, negative, social impact. And these negative social impacts are emanating from desperate individuals just trying to make ends meet. Not everyone is a psycho. Now, there are several ways of looking at this. It's either we just have a bunch of people that are full psychos and they just want to commit crime after crime after crime, or there are those that are just that, aka nuts, and there are those that are just caught in the wrong crowd because of a search of opportunity. Before you start saying, oh, you know what, are you just promoting crime? Oh, no, I'm not. Believe me, I thought I was when I was putting all this information together, which is why I decided to look for, like, where has this been done? Because we're at that point where we have a digital library, a global digital library, a.k.a. the internet, where you can find pretty much every source of reference to any topic that you can come up with. Now, on the link or the nexus between crime and unemployment or lack of opportunities in an environment, and this is in, this is just in Africa. I'm African, so I just decided to pick just the two African examples. And this, though, does not mean that this desperation and lack of opportunity, or more like the link between unemployment and lack of opportunities, is only something that is present in Africa. It's the world over. Now, the source I used is Western, because I'm an English speaker. I would have used an Asian one, but I don't speak Korean, Japanese, Chinese. That's a one of, if not the official language of Malaysia, Bahasa. No, that's Indonesia. Now just here mixing things up. So. According to Taylor and Francis, this is more like a digital library in the overall internet digital libraries that I always refer to sometimes when I'm looking at especially subjects that are of social in scope. According to Taylor and Francis, the relationship between crime and unemployment has a long history in social science and remains central a point of debate for politicians today. This was the nexus between unemployment and crime in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, published in 2019. Now, the nexus, Taylor and Francis, as two documents that I found interesting that supports this, that is in line with the International Labour Organization's concern in relation to to the link between lack of opportunities and the rise in crime statistics. And the International Labour Organization themselves, they are not making this link today. The foundation they build the initiative, to, you know, this discussion of the link between unemployment and crime statistics that they started, you know, bringing up from back in 2017, and they have been cooking the whole thing up all through to 2025. They've been putting all this report together, and then 2026, when they met for the 114th conference, International Labour Conference, they decided to basically share their findings. Now, but just looking at it from an African perspective, from an African standpoint, because I, you know, I got the report. I'm trying to look for, you know, for parts that talks either to Namibia as an, you know, as an individual country, or Africa as a whole, or just any African country, and their reports are just. I know we're an international labor organization, but just at least just. But anyway, the internet is such a big space, so I decided to look up two studies that were conducted on this same subject on the African continent. And well, turns out the good thing about the internet is when you look, you can find. If you look, you shall find. Now, the one on Ghana was published, reviewed in March. Reviewed in 2025. It was published in June, 2025. It was published in June 2025. The South Africa, now there are two South African ones. There's one, on KwaZulu-Natal. There was one on KwaZulu-Natal, specifically just zoning in on KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, that was published in 2020. And then there's one also on the same subject, also on South Africa, on just youth unemployment and illegal mining. Now, this is just the entire South Africa that they are looking at, especially in the extractive industry. And this also has a lot of immigration aspect to it, because a lot of illegal mining, you know, miners that were arrested during, was that last year or the year after last, that where the South African military actually had to come in and the South African military had to come in and, for a crackdown on illegal mining. And a lot of people that were arrested were coming from either Lesotho or Mozambique. Basically, a lot of them were non-South African. Of course, there are a lot of South Africans that made that, that made up the number of people that were arrested. But there was a significant number of people that were coming from, neighboring countries. So let's start with the neighboring. With KwaZulu-Natal. Youth unemployment and murder crimes in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. The relationship between crime and unemployment has a long history in social science and remains a central point of a debate for politicians. In this paper, they are looking at the link between youth unemployment and the causal link between unemployment and murder cases in KwaZulu-Natal, a province in South Africa that this was in 2020, and has South Africa really changed much? Not, I wouldn't say. Especially with the speaking of much, so the issue we are looking at here is one of that link between crime and unemployment. Now when you are looking at it on a national level, you can easily look at it from a perspective of crime and the unemployment. But when you are looking at it on an international level, it becomes a security concern if you have this the ever rising crime that are unemployment related happening in countries all around the world. And what that seems to do is it ferments a global security concern, which becomes a United Nations problem, and that also becomes a UN Security Council problem. So It's easy to dismiss as a very small thing that's just taking place in Namibia or South Africa or Ghana, but it's actually not. When it's happening, you know, what's happening in Namibia, a lot of both the good and bad things that's happening in Namibia will be found in a lot of other countries. Now, when the good, for the good things, it's not really, they are not really, those ones are not much of a threat. But for the, I mean, if at all, but for the negative ones, now you have a giant problem with you, because if you have, unemployment, you know, go, unemployment that is tied to lack of opportunity, to lack of opportunities, happening in Namibia and South Africa and Zimbabwe and Zambia and all this. Now, these are neighboring countries that are within the, that are within the SADC region. So when you look at it, on a SADC level, it stops being just a simple link between unemployment and lack of opportunities that may lead to the rise in crime in maybe in urban areas of one country. When you look at it from a regional standpoint, it begins to resemble a, you know, a regional security concern. When you look, when you're looking at it on an international level, it becomes an international security concern, which really, 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 you know, brings up a discussion on, we better attend to this now before it gets out of hand. Now, it's the connecting of the dot that I just find delicious. But before we continue, let's take a quick break. Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
I want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fatafano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back, and we continue where we left off. So let me just run you through KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, and then we come back to the International Labour Organization and some of the points they made in relations to the ever-rising lack of opportunity, to the ever-rising crime statistics that are linked to a lack of opportunities. And you can find this information on the International Labour Organization website. They talked about a lot of things, including gender equality and digital platforms, and how to how to extend the right of workers, or more like employer employee protection, because these events are not just attended by you know, by employees, but they're attended by, you know, employee representatives, employer representatives, and government officials who are, I mean, let's face it, they are also employees. So let's start with with KwaZulu-Natal. Now, using local municipality level panel data observed during between 2006 and 2017, and holding constant standard control variables, youth unemployment is found to be exogenous to omitted crime. Varying, like, this is just fancy English of saying, these two are linked and they are not going down. They're actually going up. And the link between them is not something new, is something we knew already. Because, Taylor and Francis is pointing out that this, the link between unemployment and the more like unemployment or lack of opportunities unemployment and lack of opportunities and crime, these two it turns out it's an interesting topic that is not new to the world of political science, basically. So in other words, wherever there are lack of opportunities, there is always going to be increase in crime. Which makes a lot of sense because, the lack of opportunities tends to generate desperations. And that desperation and desperate people are going to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do if they had access to opportunity. So when you find yourself in public office, just be careful of how you steal stuff. Because you're going to steal a bunch of stuff that you will use to decorate your fancy house. And guess what? Don't complain when that house gets broken into. Basically, that's what Taylor and Francis and International Labor Organization are saying. When you steal public resources to buy a vrupa, don't be surprised when you find out that you get in a shopping mall, and when you get out, your vrupa is missing wheels. Because the more public resources you steal, the lack resources is available to create opportunities for everyone. And what that leads to is desperation. That leads to contributes. It's not the sole contributor to crime. Some people are just crazy and they just want to break and steal stuff. But it can be ruled out that a lot of people find themselves in lifestyles that are associated to crime or those that are shunned upon by society for some moral reasons or legal reasons. So there's a lot of correlation. There is that correlation. So it's high time we start looking at that instead of shying away from that conversation. So what did they find here? According to Taylor and Francis, they confirmed that the control function approach report results that are similar to the classical passion estimator. While the negative, this is for the control and experiment. It's I started getting those terms in in physical science, and those of you that did biology. You have control experiments. These are terms that I used to take. For example, they have an experimental drug that that cures. I'm a comedian, so let's say someone invented a drug that cures cheating. Good luck coming up with that drug. And now they take 20 adults. And then split them in half, where they have 10 people that will be taking that anti-cheating drug, and the other group will be taking the placebo. Now the placebo, basically, this is just for the most part sugar. It's not a drug that is it's not a drug like the one it's not a drug like the one they just made. And this is just an example. No one came up with an anti-cheating drug. As much as some people would love to have, a drug like that. If you come up with that drug, if you look at the if you look at the way things are going in the world of relationship, if you come up with that drug, you'll make a killing, a lot of money. Chances are very high it will be a major ingredient in a lot of food. So the thing is, the effect of youth unemployment on crime by about 10% is one thing that they observed on KwaZulu-Natal. In other words, the conclusion I'm drawing, look, this whole document, it's a research-based document. So it has a lot of jargon. Now, the only way I summed up that whole jargon is, whether we don't want to have the discussion or not, and we don't want to have the discussion, believe me, I have tried. And now, because one thing I've observed is that every time I bring up the discussion between desperation due to lack of opportunities and crime, one thing that you are going to hear for the most part is it's either you are promoting crime or you're trying to come up with excuses, which is why I decided to come up with these documents, actually to find these documents. Now, and I was like, well, okay, at least this is not Helm that's going to be speaking. This is going to be Taylor and Francis and the International Labour Organization. Now, so whatever it is that you want to say about this, please take it up with these two sources. And yes, you can find them. They are online. So, between 2006 and 2017, that's a long running study. KwaZulu-Natal was picked up mainly because of the murder cases that basically went through the roof at that, you know, through the roof at that time period. And interesting enough, the post-Second World War discussion, more like topic of linking, unemployment or more like lack of opportunities, to crime discussion, was also head on an International Labour Organization discussion during their annual International Labour Conference in 2017. This study was running from 2006 to 2017, that connected the link between lack of opportunities and crime in KwaZulu-Natal. It was started from 2006, it ran up to 2017, and the 2017 International Labour Organization, they had that on their agenda. Like, you know what? I think it was a South African that you, it was either South, yeah, I think it was a South African that showed up there and like, well, speaking of the connection between labor or, you know, opportunities and crime, there's this place called KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa that we have been looking at. And this place, we'll point out just a few things about interestingly how connected these two are. So, youth unemployment and illegal mining in South Africa. The study, this is still Taylor and Francis, the study examines the impact of youth unemployment on illegal mining across South Africa's 9 provinces, and this was from 2001 to 2023. That's more than a decade that this observation was running. So there was a lot of information that was basically taking place here. Now, drawing on the economic theory of crime, the study looks at the high youth unemployment, concludes, or more like hypothesizes. They are putting, you know, they basically took two and two together and then drew a conclusion. Hypothesizes, for the love of God, just why? Anyway, they observed that high youth unemployment lowers the opportunity cost of participating in illegal mining. Let me repeat that again. They found that high youth unemployment lowers the opportunity cost of participating in illegal mining. In other words, when you are unemployed and you are desperate to get to put food on the table, what happens is you are going to be looking for anything you can put your hands on to put food on the table. And sometimes you now find yourself doing things like illegal mining. And that was mostly as, you know, mostly the largest group. The largest group that was found participating in activities like illegal mining due to lack of opportunities in South Africa was ages, you know, the youth. Two youth groups. Pardon me. They split the youth the youth group in two categories. 15 to 24 made the largest number of the people that participated in illegal mining. And the second group which also falls under the youth category was 25 to 34. So 15 to 34, that's the youth group. And this is not surprising because we are on an African continent. We like to pride ourselves as this continent with the largest youthful population, with a lot of economic potential. Except from the look of things, economic activities are not taking place fast enough to afford opportunity to the fast-growing youthful, fast-expanding youthful population. And as a result, you have a lot of energy out there that is just begging to be used, to be applied. Being used, I mean, that's a whole different way of looking at things. Now, they pointed out several things here that we also find that the impact becomes positive when the province records more than 52,765 unemployed youth. in other words, that's not good. Not good. Now, tertiary education mitigates this effect, demonstrating the positive role of higher education in reducing the inactives of illegal activities. This finding suggests that illegal mining should not be viewed solely as a criminal justice issue, but also a symptom of socio-economic inclusion entrenched in the labor market. That's my favorite part. Before I go to Ghana, I'm gonna read it again. The finding from the link between illegal mining and lack of opportunities in South Africa conducted from 2001 to 2023 was that this finding suggests that illegal mining should not be viewed solely as a criminal justice issue, but also a symptom of socio-economic inclusion embedded into the labor market itself. And I like how they referenced tertiary. Not only do you have a lot of graduates that don't have opportunities, which is why you have a lot of immigration taking place, which is why we're talking about brain drain. So brain drain means you have your education system is doing just fine in terms of producing graduates, but your economic sphere is not it's not growing at the same rate that you are producing graduates to be able to absorb all of them. And as a result, you have a lot of them that are finding themselves behind bars with their qualifications. And some of them are finding themselves, if you look at it from an African standpoint, drowning in the Red Sea in an attempt to get to, to get to Europe in search of opportunities. So you have those ones that are going to, from the look of things, committing crimes at home, or you have those ones that are committing crimes and running away and causing all kinds of chaos halfway across the world, and you have those that are just leaving their countries in search of opportunities. So if you have, I think the simple math here is, if you have a lot of people that are leaving their countries to search for opportunities elsewhere, that means you have a large number of people that cannot afford to leave their countries. And as a result, the crime statistics locally just goes through the roof. And the interesting part here is they used the word a symptom. Illegal mining was for a very long time, from the look of things, from 2001 to 2023, or basically from the beginning, from the early days of illegal mining, It was looked at, and this, and it's not just South Africa who is guilty of this. You know, Namibia and pretty much any country that has a quote unquote illegal mining activities or anything that is described as illegal mining economic activity, more like illegal economic activity. I'm not talking about, organ harvesting. That's not an economic activity. Illegal mining. No one is chopping off anyone's things to sell. So this, I think much of the things that we look at as, maybe the police are not doing enough. Maybe the judges, maybe it's the prosecutor's fault. Maybe it's the lawyer's fault. Maybe it's the law itself. No. What if these things are just symptoms of a main disease that we are not addressing? And in terms of illegal activities, is lack of access for a lot of people to tertiary institutions so they get the right qualifications to participate in the formal economy. It's either that or you have a lot of people that have the qualification and are able, they have all the qualification, ability and energy to participate in the formal labor economy, except the opportunities are not there. What you end up with is that World Drug Day discussion that we had a few days ago. Based on the report that was, that also came from the United Nations, where they looked at the link between, they looked at how fast growing the world of illegal drugs is, not just in terms of money, but also in terms of market, quantity and consumption and production of new drugs, especially being made out of synthetic products. So, illegal mining was not South Africa's problem. I don't think it was Namibia or Zimbabwe or any country's problem. Not in a way that we like to look at it. It was a symptom. It still is a symptom because it's still taking place. It's a symptom of a much larger socio-economic problem being found in a particular country. And this is something that you can basically find in pretty much any country. And this may be sound a little unorthodox point of view, but I'm just going to point it out. Human beings were terrible at sharing. And as a result, you have millionaires, billionaires, and trillionaires. And you have people that can afford bread. We all live on the same planet. That is our biggest problem. Sharing. Terrible at sharing. Or maybe, if you can just work a little harder. True, if you can work harder, you can accomplish a lot of things. But we can all agree that you first have to know a guy who knows a guy, right? Well, look, it works out even if you don't know a guy who knows a guy. I'm just saying it becomes much easier if you know a guy who knows a guy that has the right surname. That last part is just something I decided to throw in. So, maybe this is just a South African issue. Oh, no, it's not. Now, 2025, June 2025, Taylor and Francis, social inequalities and unemployment as a precursor to criminal tendencies in Ghana. Understanding the dynamics from sociological viewpoint. So, political scientists and sociological experts just look at the things that we complain about, especially in terms of the connection between crime and lack of opportunities, things like this. These are the things that sociological experts. I imagine how dumb they look at us sometimes. Like, oh. You are here complaining about this and these things like crime and all these things. Not all of it, obviously, but these things, some of these crimes are not they are not the disease themselves. They are the symptoms of a much bigger social concern that You know, everyone knows, but we're just not addressing it. Why? Well, because it's a touchy, the whole thing is ridiculous, but unemployment, this is still on Ghana. Unemployment poses as a critical socio-economic threat in Ghana, and this is from 2025, so just put that in mind. Often linked to rising crimes. And the study explores how systemic joblessness, I like that word, joblessness fuels criminal behavior using social disorganization, frustration, aggression, structural violence, and you have the whole thing becomes an inequality issue. Now, this was just done mostly in the area of Ghana's capital, Accra. Yeah. So, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. Link between crime and lack of opportunities, check. South Africa itself as a whole in relations to illegal mining, link between crime and lack of opportunities, check. Ghana, Accra, West Africa. I know these two are not talking right now because of, yay. But anyway, the same thing was observed in Ghana, Accra. Now, the reason why I find the one for Ghana, Accra, fascinating is that it draws a link between the discussion that was had by the International Labour Organization in relations to the digital economy and how it also needs a labour protection, because the threats that are threatening the physical labour, like physical world labour. The issues that are being faced in the physical world labor market are also being faced by the digital world labor market. So the need to regulate in terms of labor regulation wise for the digital labor market that was also discussed by the International Labor Conference in their recent International Labor by the International Labor Organization in their recent International Labor Conference. That link is something that also I was able to trace in the link between unemployment and lack of opportunities in Ghana. So they also looked at. They also found that one of the main crimes that pops up, as part of the overall crime coming out of the inequalities or lack of opportunities, is cybercrime, fraud, but you're scamming, things like that. There you go. And the one for Ghana now, the abstract ends with sums it up in a very delicious way that the study highlights the urgent need for education labor market alignment. This is very Namibian. This is very Namibian because if you... Year or two ago, was that last year or was that in 2024 when there was a strike that was done by unemployed teaching graduates, and the Minister of Education, I believe that was last year, the Minister of Education was that when she was a deputy minister at the time, Senate Steenkamp had to come out and say, you know what, according to the recent statistics as it stands, we have a lot of graduates, our tertiary education in terms of education graduates, we are producing a lot of lower primary graduates. So the market is flooded with graduates that are specializing in lower primary education. So we need to up our game into the upper primary, junior secondary and senior secondary. That for me points to labor market education misalignment, which is one thing that is just referred to in this document. And that's so the study highlights the urgent need to education and labor market alignment and merit based employment policies to mitigate unemployment induced criminality and improve social stability. Why did they bring up the whole merit based? Because one of the things that there were about 30 individuals that participated in this survey in Ghana, and one thing they found was that a lot of them seemed to emphasize one thing that is also a contributing factor, albeit it's not a big one in terms of the link between unemployment, and lack of opportunities, nepotism. In other words, hiring someone who is related to you by blood or by breathe so that the comedy doesn't come out. So nepotism is one of those things that was pointed out as to one of the things that was pointed out in Ghana. And I'm pretty sure if you conducted this survey in Namibia, you will run into a lot of people that will make pretty much the exact same thing. And believe me, I've seen Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka took nepotism to a whole another level. You had about 40 to 50% of the parliament. About 40 to 50% of their parliament had the same surname. Rajapaksa. President, Rajapaksa. Vice President, Rajapaksa. Minister of Defense, Rajapaksa. Minister of Housing, Rajapaksa. Minister of Agriculture, Rajapaksa. Really? I mean, and look, at some point, they had a president who was a former minister of defense, I believe. And when they had the president who was a former minister of defense, the vice president of that president who was former minister of defense was president when the president who was former minister of defense was a minister of defense. Jesus! And Homran with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. If you want to laugh at a story of nepotism taken a little too far, just look up, Sri Lanka, the Rajapaksa family. Boy, those guys took it a little too far. I'm kidding. They took it from here to Mars. And back like a million times. Quick break. We'll continue on the other side. Home run with Helmut and Wide on Eagle FM.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now listening to
Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Stay tuned. But before we continue, let's take a live read. Vilvicha University 2027 applications are now open. Faculty of Health Sciences, program certificate for enrolled nurse midwife / accoucheur level 6, certificate in pharmacy level 5, diploma in environmental health science level 6, bachelor of social work honors, bachelor of nursing and midwifery science honors, postgraduate diploma in community health nursing level 8, postgraduate diploma in occupational health and safety level 8, postgraduate diploma in mental health nursing level 8, master of public health, master of occupational health and safety. For more information, please call 081-403-6406. Vilvicha University, where everyone is an achiever.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. It's just a minute to the hour of 6, so we still have an hour to go. So now we come to the International Labour Organization itself and what they looked at. We take it back to 2017. In 2017, they had their 106th. The 106th conference, and that's when they looked at this was in 2017, and one thing I also found on their website is I think they were glad they started having this discussion on how, look, we live in a world where there's a lot of natural disasters that impacts a lot of people in different regions across the world, and what that does is it throws people economically back 5-10 years, depending on how bad the disaster is. Now the thing is, natural disasters is not our biggest worry. It's the human-made disasters, like wars. Those are our biggest problem, because we are dealing with one right now. So they started having this discussion on how to navigate the challenges of global economic issues, as they arise. Because at this point, going back to 1944, according to their report, discussion on how to navigate, on how to ensure global security, ensuring that people have access to opportunities so that they are not cornered and then left with no options but to participate in illegal activities, which, when you talk about people being desperate enough and they start participating in illegal activities, we start thinking, housebreaking and all stuff. Those are just petty crimes in comparison to some of the biggest problems that a lot of people find themselves into, like drug trade, for example. You know who your boss is when you are pushing drugs? When I sick and I can't come to work, I can call my boss and tell him, you know what, I'm not feeling well. And he's going to understand. Now, if drug dealers were not misportrayed by Hollywood, which something Hollywood is very good at, misportraying characters, is that I don't think those guys can listen to things like, boss, I broke a mic by accident. And my boss is like, okay, you know what? Well, thank you for reporting it. We'll just, you know, just put in the paperwork for filing and all that. That's okay. Imagine showing up to your drug dealer boss that, you know what, well, I was robbed and all the drugs that I took from you that I wanted to sell, well, it's all gone. Yeah. That's not going to end well. Now, I don't think, I don't think there's anyone that will want to work with a boss that doesn't want to, you know, that doesn't listen to, not excuses, but very reasonable explanations as to why something is not done, or at least why it's not done right. Right? So, at airports, every year at airports, people get arrested trying to smuggle drugs. Men and women alike. Some swallow it. Some put it in their dreads. Some put it, try to smuggle through their shoes. Some suitcases. Which is why you are warned not to take people's bags at the airport. Because you don't know what's inside. And when airport security catches you with a bag, they're not going to listen to, oh my God, it's not mine. I was just trying to be nice by holding it for the lady who just went to the bathroom. Don't worry, she'll be back soon. She's not coming back. Translation, you're cooked. So, following 2 weeks of deliberation, June 2017. And now, what was it? Before we go to June 2017, in 2019, 2020, I believe somewhere around 2020, the International Labor Organization sort of like, revisited this idea. I mean, the whole observation on how to put together this report on the future of work in relations to mitigating the, you know, the link, especially the increase associated with, the increase of lack of opportunities, because it has been linked to the increase in crime statistics. It was observed and documented and also studied during the COVID-19 pandemics. When did online scamming go through the roof? During COVID-19. A whole new way of scamming called pig butchering came out of the COVID-19 lockdowns. Economies were locked down and the people were losing jobs. Employees were losing money because they were, you know, their businesses were brought to a standstill. And as a result, desperation kicked in, and a lot of people that lost their jobs in the process because of the cuts to budgets that led to cut of staff during the COVID-19 pandemic. It created a lot of people that were desperate to basically put food on the table. So they went all techie online and started, calling people and telling them exactly what they wanted to hear. Whether it's these are romance scammers or investment scammers, it turns out they're all kinds of scammers. My favorite example is the pig butchering scammers that came out of COVID-19. It's been traced to have been cooked up by a bunch of casino guys who had their computers that were now sitting still doing absolutely nothing because there were no people in scam. There were no people in their casinos. And as a result, they decided to repurpose that technology into something even more diabolical. And that was, steal people's life savings. So, on the internet, be careful of what you click. Yes. My science teacher liked to say, don't be a yes machine. Nope, not mine. Anyway, my English teacher liked to say that when you're on the internet, don't be a yes machine. So, now to 2017. Following 2 weeks of deliberation of on key world of work issues, the 106th International Labour Conference adopted a new landmark standard, the Employment and Decent Work for Peace and Resilience Recommendation 2017 number 205. That's the one that was cooked from basically all the way 2017, all the way from 2017. To 2025, when everything was compiled, and for this year's International Labour Conference, it was presented. But the whole idea is as old as time, but the mainstream discussion of the idea comes out of the two world wars. Imagine being alive shortly after World War II, and you are in Europe. Everything has been blown to smithereens. After World War II, I think, you'd think we'd be scared to start a war. Because I can only imagine the economic chaos. There is no economic structure. You just have a lot of people that are desperate. And desperate people are willing to do anything. And now about to commit murder. Oh, boy. Some reason my... Oh, moment.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Why did I leave?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So, 2017... This 2017 unemployment and decent work peace for for peace and resilience, decent work for peace and resilience, decent work for peace. That's why I just decided to leave it for my description. Decent work for peace. Decent work equals peace. In other words, lack of decent work equals violence. Turns out sociology will. It's just looking at us saying, I told you so. Now, the 2017 documents was an update, according to the International Labour Organization, was an update of the guidance of an earlier International Labour Organization recommendation adopted in 1944. To provide a response to the contemporary crisis situation arising from the conflict and disaster, hence my Second World War reference. It also widens the focus of standard on reconstruction and recovery to include prevention and preparedness. Now, in 1944, when they first came up with this whole idea of crime statistics, desperation, aka crime and crime statistics and lack of opportunities are connected. How can we address this on an international level? Now, because they were just coming out of the Second World War, one thing that they realized that When the idea was adopted in 2017 now, they needed to modernize it, because after Second World War, they were just focused on two things. And those were reconstruction and recovery. But now we are not dealing with reconstruction now. We have constructed a lot. Now, it's either you have constructed already, or you are just constructing. You are not reconstructing. Because reconstructing means you constructed before and you decided to blow everything to smithereens, and now you are reconstructing. Now, a lot of African countries would say they are reconstructing metaphorically coming out of the colonial era. So the old version of the idea of decent work equals peace was focused on reconstruction, on recovery. So to modernize it to fit, so that it fits modern day needs, back in 2017 when they Lazarused this idea, the International Labour Organization decided to add in prevention and preparedness. Yeah, in other words, let's build and make sure that, let's make sure that we don't blow stuff up again. Did we learn anything? No. Clearly we didn't. So much of this, if you want to look at it from an interesting standpoint, you can look at it from the link between, actually the ever widening economic inequalities. I'll just give you an example. There's one American senator that passed away this weekend. Senator Lindsey Graham. I tell you, if you go on social media, or if you just go online, just pick a media source and go online where the death of that man is being reported and read the comments. It's like a lot of people are happy he's dead. As a Namibian, I don't subscribe to the whole, Republican, Democrats, because I'm not an American. Now, one thing that made me, look at these comments and a lot of videos just that are being made in reference, passing is that a lot of people are playing a lot of his old videos, what he said about Russia, Ukraine war, what he said about Iran, what he said about, what he said about basically Americans themselves. And, one thing that I picked from that, it's sheer hate coming out of, at least I was able to pick from the comment section, is that, this is, I would argue it's largely because of the disconnect between public representatives and their people. He was a senator. He was a public representative. He was a public official. In other words, he was in that position or that office to represent the public. Now, I would argue if there was a close enough communication between the public he represented and his office to listen to the need of the public, they would have been saved in a way that that would have made them leave some positive comments on the videos that are reporting his passing. But right now, the ever widening gap between widening economic inequality gap is fermenting a lot of class hate, and that, believe me, can be seen in the videos, news, or social media of one man. Just one man. Someone wrote, why am I wasting my time? Let me bring you some, economic inequality did not just lead to the to the French Revolution. Economic inequality is so terrible, it has led to the downfall of, basically leads to the downfall of the empires. The Spanish Empire, heck, the Roman Empire, any empire has been brought down by economic inequalities. AKA, you have a bunch of people just at the top hoarding all the resources and leaving people at the bottom desperate. And again, desperate people will do what? Just about anything. Now that's just the doing. Before they get to the doing, it starts, if you ask me, with the hate. With just the sheer hate. Now. All right. So, where's that woman? Now, on, when I say just pick a media source. Some reason my computer doesn't have comment section. I have one. Right, so we're good. Boa, Lindsay. All right, Boa, Lindsay, Graham. All you just have to do is just pick any source and go to the comment section and, oh my God. Oh boy. Yeah, you know what? This is just diabolical. Look, I did not agree with with a single of his political point of view, but okay, social media is just going to cook in here. And here's the thing. Karim Khan, who is the chief prosecutor of the ICC, Karim Khan. The man who filed the arrest warrant for, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Karim Khan sat with Mehdi Hassan on Zeteo, where Mehdi Hassan asked Karim Khan that, is it true that Lindsey Graham told you that, the court, aka the ICC, is just is only made for Africans, and Karim Khan's response made me take interest in who Lindsey Graham was, because I came across that video yesterday. Now, according to Karim Khan, his response was to Mehdi Hassan was actually he went further than that. His response was the ICC is a court only for Africans and thugs like Putin, and not for democracies like the US and Israel. Now, you see, garbage like that, things like that, is why we are going to have is why you are going to look at that man's funeral into this. It's going to resemble Queen Elizabeth. The recent Queen Elizabeth, not the first one. Queen Elizabeth's passing. People were split in you have a lot of people that revered the woman that said, you know what, she did a lot of terrible things, but you can't say that at her passing. And a lot of people that were colonized by Britain looked at them and went like, yeah, look, The Queen Elizabeth you remember is not the Queen Elizabeth we remember. The one that we remember has a lot of negative things done in the name of her kingdom. The one that you remember maybe had a lot of positive things being done in the name of her kingdom. So the emotional response to her passing is going to be determined to what version of her domestic or foreign policy do you remember, depending on which side of the stick you were standing. So the ICC is for Africans and thugs like Putin, not for democracies like the US and Israel. Really? I have a lot of debate to just democracy. Yeah, right. Democracies don't go around the world dropping bombs. Capitalists. I would have believed him. I would have agreed with him if he said not for capitalists like they use in Israel. But I mean, that would make sense. Now, so let me just say the comments, most of them coming from mainly Americans, which I found very interesting. But anyway, I think that is one of those things that happens when you live in a society where you have an ever-widening gap between the rich and the poor. The poor are left desperate, and when they are desperate, they are going to, you know, ferment. I mean, hate starts to ferment. Class hate begins to ferment. A CEO a CEO of an insurance company, was shot again in the US, and people were celebrating. Why? Again, all this is a fermentation of a much bigger societal problem. And I'm just glad the International Labour Organization, shout out to International Labour Organization, Taylor and Francis, for pointing this out that, here's the thing. Social division are bad in a long run. Because, crime comes from there. We have seen, a government being overthrown because of that. Am I saying much to the State House? No. Just trying to make a point here. What's one of the biggest point that was made? It was that in 2024 in Kenya during the tax riots. Here was a government that wanted to tax people to settle a debt, or more like to service a debt. Now, one of the questions that the citizens were asking was, if you are going to tax the heck out of our bread to service a debt, do you mind explaining to us the money that you have been borrowing so far? Point us to the changes that you have made using this money, apart from you driving a fancy car. Uh-oh. It's like, okay, yeah, now that's not good, not good, not good. So, Second World War, the whole idea of looking at the link between unemployment and crime statistics and how to mitigate it and the ways to basically counter the growth before it ferments into protest riots and civil war, believe it or not, actually an excellent way of putting it is, I wasn't taught that in history, so I decided to look at it myself. How did Hitler manage to convince the entire German population that he's the right guy, irrespective of all the terrible things that history records he did? Whether I believe it or not, that's none of my business. So I decided to look at how was the German economy before the rise of Nazi Germany. And would you look at that? The economy was devastated by World War One, and the quote-unquote victors of World War One thought it was a brilliant idea to put Germany in even more deeper economic chaos by by putting all the, you know, all the, by billing the heck out of Germany for the destruction caused during World War, during World War II. You know, during World War I. Who caused World War I? A bunch of people were stealing for themselves and their family members. And a lot of people at the bottom became desperate. A war broke out. And after World War I, a bunch of quote-unquote educated idiots thought it was a brilliant idea to build an already economically devastated country. What happens is, where do you think a country gets its money? You tax the people. And when you are taxing the people that just got out of a world war devastation, they can barely afford bread. And you are taxing them to death. You are just increasing their desperation to look for hope in someone. And just at this time of the highest desperation in the German economy, guess who pops up and promises salvation? Yeah. It wasn't organic, was it? Because now I refuse to believe that a population of over 100 million people were all gullible, considering that this is a population of people that make your your Mercedes, your Audi, your BMW. So these are very smart guys. So you're telling me they fell for a flat out dictator because they were dumb? I refuse to buy that idea. And frankly, it was not included in my economy. I mean, it wasn't just, it wasn't covered in a way that I wanted to be covered. I love history. It wasn't covered in a way that I wanted them to cover it in history books. In just, how many private bankers backed, a bunch of villains and foes alike, depending on which side of the spectrum you are, for both World War I and World War II, that is not in history books. History books, one thing I don't like about history books in the way that they are taught in school? History books just teach the political side of things, not the banking side of things. Because believe me, if your history books taught the banking side of things, you'd hate those bankers more than you hate Mussolini and his German homie. There are two aspects of history that are, I believe, intentionally left out by history books, especially those used in school: the religious part and the money part. Because wherever there's a war, there's a church somewhere. We were colonized by a bunch of guys that went to church every Sunday. Immediately after church, he decided to put on his uniform and went straight to colonizing. So World War I is the same. Colonialism is expensive. You are talking about expeditions. You are talking about traveling, voyages. Now, these voyages were paid for by a bunch of financial institutions I wasn't taught about in my history books. And I still hate my not my history teacher. No. I mean, you getting away scot-free on this one. Whoever basically wrote the history books, you guys did a terrible job. And this is not just in Namibia. I have come to learn this is the world over. Every time history is taught, they leave out a bunch of guys that went to church and went back to colonizing. And they leave out a bunch of guys that stole money, caused a war, went to church, and went back to stealing money and causing wars like nothing. I think it's safe to say that what Taylor and Francis points out in the KwaZulu-Natal analysis of the link between crime, crime and lack of opportunities, is the relationship between crime and unemployment has a long history in social science and remains central to a point of debate for politicians today. It's a central point of discussion for politicians today, of political science guys and sociology guys. So pretty much every war was because a bunch of guys were stealing all the resources for themselves and leaving everyone poor and desperate. You know, I thought it was going to be a very long definition to explain the cause of war. One video of one old man I found on social media, full of wisdom in his eyes, he said, any law made by men that that goes against the circumstances of reality will be broken. You don't have to agree with that man or Taylor and Francis of the International Labor Organization, but you can understand. Any law that is made by men that goes against the circumstances of reality will be violated. Yeah. Now, to the standards. So, from reconstruction and recovery to prevention and preparedness. Preparedness? No, we're not prepared. I mean, the closing of the Strait of Hormuz. Not only did we fail to prevent that, but we were not prepared for it. We don't have power to, it's an International Labor Organization report. So I'm saying we as an international, very dumb species with 32 teeth and two legs, assuming you didn't lose some of your teeth in a bar fight. So the new standard that was, the new standard that combines, that adds prevention and preparedness to reconstruction and recovery. The new standard provides a unique normative framework focusing on world of work related measures to prevent and respond to devastating effects of conflicts and disasters on economies and societies. This was in 2017. Now, this was in 2017. Fast forward to 2022. 2022, the war between Russia and Ukraine pops up. And the global economy goes haywire. And now the African Union Commission Chair at the time, Macky Sall of Senegal, had to fly to Russia to go and say, you bro Putin. About that wheat. To be fair, a lot of people, of our people on our continent had no idea the bread they were eating is made out of wheat from this region. Now that you decided to blow everything to smithereens, can you just, make a secret for, we're homies, just make a secret a little so we can just bring some wheat to go and feed our people. And I was like, what the heck? And I'm one of those people that eat bread like no man's business. Peanut butter sandwich, my go-to breakfast, with scrambled eggs in between, just delicious. Now, that was in 2022, just when the International Labor Organization said, okay, you know what, violence devastates economy, and when the economies are devastated, people's lives my Nigerian guys were scatter finish. And when opportunities are scatter finish, people become desperate. And when they are desperate, crime. A lot of people participate in crime. And as a result, it threatens peace and stability. That was in 2017. Fast forward 2022, Russia-Ukraine war starts. And, 2023, Israel wakes up and starts bombing everything that walks in occupied Palestine. That's a UN term. That's one thing I like about those documents. And now bombing the heck out of, out of southern Lebanon. And making plans from the look of things of bombing Turkey, and right up on the next is Egypt. Like, what the heck is going on here? Now, we have all these things going on. You have Turkey and Egypt being added on the menu, of the Israel and U.S. war, basically Western war of whatever the goal they would like to achieve. I don't get it at this point. Now, you have that going on, and the International Labour Organization on one side is saying disasters like war devastates economies, not just in the countries where the war is taking place, and we have seen this, and we continue to see this. The war between Israel and Iran has just escalated again. And that is just going to pinch the global economy even harder. And as a result, you and I are going to start paying prices for things that we need, like food, that we would not otherwise pay for if the war had not taken place. So clearly we haven't learned as a species. I really wish this was mine again, because I really want to cook white people on this one. But clearly we haven't learned. Now, the new standard provides a unique normative framework focusing on the world of work-related measures to prevent and respond to devastating effects of conflicts and disasters on economies and societies, paying special attention to vulnerable populations, populations such as children, young people, and those children, women, and displaced individuals. That was in 2017. We haven't prevented anything, and we haven't been prepared. I mean, we haven't been prepared for anything. Not economically, at least. Quick break.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We have 20 minutes left to the hour of 7. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we're looking at the International Labour Organization's observation. Actually, it's a political science and sociology observation. In other words, it is a known tendency of mankind that when opportunities are not there, it draws a lot of competition to the small amount of opportunities available, and that creates a lot of desperation, and that begins to almost always, if not always, leads to the increase in crime. So page 14, oh no, I'm used to doing this whole page thing when Dwight is here, so I can direct him to where I'm headed next. But he's just out there getting some Now, there's something they, you know, there's something there's something the International Labour Organization called, you know, is calling the crisis management cycle. Emergency relief and aid distribution, damage and needs assessment, immediate job creation, restoration of social and physical infrastructure, long-term reconstruction, opportunities for sustained livelihood, and the early warning. After you prepare all the emergency relief for the suffering, you create you build the infrastructure when the disaster is gone, aka war or a tsunami, and then after that, now you learn from the previous disasters and create early warning system, so that you are not caught with your pants down again with either the a man-made or a natural disaster. How the heck do you prepare for American foreign policy in impacting your pocket? I'm just asking. And then after that, you continue planning. But that's just their plan. My interest goes straight to page 14 of that that report. Now, if you are lazy to read, which I don't recommend, just get that report and go to page 14, and you'll find more like a summary of what the whole, what the report tries to look at. Now, recommendation number 205. That's the employment and decent work for peace and resilience recommendation, resurrected in 2017 after it was cooked up in 1944. That basically point out one fact. If you want peace, create opportunity so that people are not desperate to commit crimes. Sounds very simple social solution to that. Just share resources equally. Except, people don't want to share resources equally. Nope. Otherwise, I mean, who will you show off to if everyone has a vrupa? I mean, you need someone to show off to. So just steal everything so that someone you want to show off to doesn't have the resources to buy their own vrupa, so you can show off to them. The thing is, the more they are saying, "Oh man, nice car, I mean, yeah, have a good day," and they get home and there's no food on the table, they plan on stealing your car. It's not rocket science. It's a very simple human behavior. Is it a good behavior? No, it's a terrible one, which is why we are talking about how to prevent it. Now, preventing it goes just beyond us compiling annual or monthly crime statistics, or on certain subjects, including whether it's a house breaking or auto theft or illegal mining. Again, I'm inclined to agree with Taylor and Francis that these are symptoms of a much bigger social problem. Lack of access to opportunities. And back in 2019, some prisons in the Netherlands were being converted into hostels, and some were being closed down because of lack of convicts.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only 25 Namibian dollars. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just 18.99 Namibian dollars. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just 49.99 Namibian dollars. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for 28.99 Namibian dollars. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only 12.99 Namibian dollars. You Save. Where else?
Point of correction, not 2019, 2017. Dutch prison crisis. That was BBC. A shortage of prisoners. That was in 2016. What happened was, this was the BBC basically cooking their own environment, aka the UK. So the article starts with, while the UK and much of the world struggles to, While the UK and much of the world struggles with overcrowded prisons, the Netherlands has the opposite problem. It is actually it's actually short of people to lock up. And now this was in 2016, so just have that date in mind. So for the past 19 years before 2016. For the past few years before 2016, 19 prisons had to close down, and more were scheduled by 2016 to close down. And it turns out when there are opportunities there, and when there is when you give people access to opportunities, and they are able, and you don't put them in an economic corner, you can close down prisons because of lack of people to incarcerate. Now, my favorite country, which is basically the opposite of that, is the U.S., which is known for having private prisons, which it turns out is, I mean, it's a terrible idea, because there are private prisons that in the U.S. that sign agreements with the state that if I'm going to give you space to house the convicts that you are having a problem dealing with, you will have to, you know, we must have a minimum number of occupants. It's not a hotel, you moron. Now, what they end up having, you know, there have been incidences where these private prisons have sued the American government because the government have failed to meet its incarceration, you know, quotas. What? It turns out that's a thing. Translation, you're going to have to jail someone because you promised me that you're going to jail someone for me to make money. Are you nuts? It turns out you can prioritize profit to the point of you praying for someone to commit a crime for you to jail. Yeah. So when you look at it, when you look at it from that Dutch example, the link between lack of opportunities and crime becomes very apparent. Now, one of the memes that you find on online about prisons in the Netherlands and Norway, especially Norway, is that they look like hotels. Why? I don't know. Now that one, that's one of those fascinating thing about, you know, about Norway. Apart from the fact that they, they buy a lot of our meat. A lot. They eat a lot of it. And also, you know, every country has a positive and negative reputation. And their negative part is chlamydia. The STD. Which I started laughing at when I first came across that, and it's like, okay, so at least that's the downside of giving people a lot of access to opportunity. They run out of things to do except that gives them STD. Anyway, but that's a problem for another day. That's a problem for another day. Now, I think that's the Dutch example for me when they were, prisons because of lack and, I thought I wasn't reading that right. A Dutch prison crisis, a shortage of prisoners. I was like, come again. Shortage of what now? We have overcrowded correctional facilities. And you are telling me you are closing some of your correctional facilities because you don't have people to incarcerate. It turns out, yeah. And again, that brings us to what? Taylor and France report on this subject on their analysis on the same subject in Ghana. They need the first thing we have to look at is align the education with opportunities. Align these two. Because you can produce as much graduate as you can, But if they are not, if there are no available opportunities for them to, for them to participate in the economy, you have some serious problems on your hands, because now you're going to have educated thieves. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to deal with them? Because now they know how to operate a computer. They know how to pick locks. And by the way, thanks to the internet, that information is readily available. It's either that or I have to come back to the side of internet that everyone else is finding themselves in. Interesting enough. Yeah. Anyway, the Dutch in 2016 were closing down prisons, and I haven't looked up on this. I first came across this, I think that was in 2020. Now, my homies and I were laughing at this. Now, this... And the BBC guy decided to go very creative with this article. That the smell of fried onions wafted up the metal stairs past the cell doors and along the wings. Now, down in the kitchen, inmates are preparing their evening meal. This was in the this is in the UK now. And one man gripping a long serrated blade is expertly chopping vegetables. Hey, thank God. Now, I have had 6 years to practice, so I'm getting better, he says. Now, this was a cook that was basically interviewed for this article. An inmate was chopping vegetables for dinner for everyone else. That's in the UK. Now, in the UK, they had this problem. The prisons were overcrowded, and the Dutch were like, actually we could use some criminals, our prisons are empty. And the whole world was like, Kabaki. So now one of the recommendations is an innovative and modern instrument which acknowledges the complexity of the contemporary global context and the multidimensional nature of the crisis of the link between lack of opportunities and crime. And the report also suggests a phased multi-track approach, now commonly known as humanitarian development peace. It also provides guidance on international cooperation and explicitly states that the International Labour Organization should play a leading role in crisis response based on employment and decent work in close cooperation with regional and international institutions. The thing is, the International Labour Organization is supposed to now work with nations leaders. I mean, at this event, government officials were there. Employee representatives were there. Employer representatives were there. Governments, as we speak, are busy blowing the heck out of each other, especially in the Western guys. Yeah. That's one. It's weird, ain't it? So they have a whole list of recommendations here. Now, the call to action and plan of action, an effort to raise awareness of multiple ways in which social partners and government can together, let me repeat that again, social partners and governments can together help to prevent violence and mitigate the effects of this crisis. It places strong emphasis on social dialogue, which, while a specific part of the instrument is dedicated to social dialogue and the role of employers and workers' organizations. Now, the three-part consultation is called for throughout the report. The three part of it is the part that includes what's that? You have your one, employers, workers, and workers' organizations. So you need workers to come on board. So, according to the, now in simple terms, The International Labour Organization is saying to one of the many ways to navigate this challenge is to sort of like solve the problem of crime that is emanating from a lack of opportunities, aka desperations, is for three people to start talking. The first one, being your employers, and then employers and workers organizations. I would say employers come to the table, employers representatives, and then employees representatives and the policy makers. Because much of these things take place because of it's a regulatory problem. And this discussion takes you straight to the global tax problem. A lot of multinational companies are known to either avoid or evade taxes. And as a result, they don't invest their money in the, in expanding their businesses to hire more people, like the trickle-down economy philosophy seems to suggest. And expand your business to hire more people. And you're supposed to look at the size of the market. I mean, if there is no market, what's expansion going to help, even if you're hiring people? That's really stupid. But for some reason, a bunch of educated guys came up with that. Point of correction. A bunch of educated idiots came up with that and thought it was going to work. They ignored one fact. And people are greed. People are full of greed. Everyone is full of greed. Any man can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. That's Abraham Lincoln. And if you want to test a man's character, give him power. You can get one of the nicest person you know. Give them power. Give them power. Watch them turn into a dictator in less than 24 hours. I really envy psychology students because I imagine how they look at these subjects, psychology and sociology and the political science students, especially psychology and sociology students. I imagine you guys look at this and, oh, history. Oh, that, hello. Not a history student. I really wish I was, though. Because the historical comparison on what caused disasters back then and what is and the series of events that are basically piling up into the potential disaster in the future. They're comparing these two, which is that's something that historians do a lot, and that's one thing. That's why I like to read a lot of works from historians, because they compare to the series of activities that fermented into whether it's a financial crisis or political crisis, but mostly it is everything. It all has a financial aspect to it. So let's draw this. Let's wrap this up with Taylor and Francis' point of view. The crime statistics that we are compiling, chances are very high these are symptoms of a much bigger social issue. And that much bigger social issue is we don't know how to share. And that lack of sharing is creating, one group fatter than the other. The thin one is desperate and willing to commit crimes.
Care that goes where you go. That's international travel insurance through NHP. We facilitate cover of up to 10 million Namibian dollars per member for medical emergencies abroad as part of your membership. No extra charge. To receive your policy within minutes, simply register at nhp.com.na before you travel. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Tune in to The Home Run with help.
Welcome back. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Yours truly, signing out. Peace.